Hello, everybody. This is Susan McLean Bundt, and welcome to the next episode of Unlock Your Life. And today I'm interviewing Kate Northrup. And Kate Northrup is the author of Money, A Love Story, the second book about money I ever put my hands on. And she is my mentor, and she's a mentor to a lot of women who want to build a life and not just a living. And I love her work. I devour every inch of it. And I actually work together with her in a certain part of our business. So I'm really honored to have Kate here on our interviews. Welcome, Kate.
Thanks so much for having me, Suze. It's great to see you.
And because she has written a book about money, this is a really interesting person to actually hear talking about her own money story. And there is one first question I'd like you to introduce yourself with, and you can add anything you want to add to that. But what is the specific incident that got you on that money journey?
Yeah, so, you know, I feel like for me, there was a whole series of events that got me, because basically what happened is, the short version of the story is, I started a business when I was 18, which is the company that we both work together in. And I became pretty successful early in terms of financially. Like, I had a much higher than average income for people my age from growing a business during college. But then I moved to New York City, and I also had much higher than average expenses, and they were higher than my income. And so I just wasn't paying attention. I had never learned the skills of financial management or financial awareness. Like, it wasn't really something we talked about in my household. My parents never really shared what they were up to. And so I just was like kind of under this delusion that if I just did enough affirmations and had enough of a prosperity mindset, that it would all just kind of work. Yeah. And the truth is, that doesn't work. You know, there's this great old African proverb, which I talk about all the time, which says, as you pray, move your feet. And so there's a piece about personal action that I was not doing. So I was putting all of my financial statements in a drawer. I was not opening my financial mail. And it was several years before I finally actually looked at everything. And the sort of the precipitating event, I don't know, it was just a growing feeling of discomfort, specifically because my outside persona was like young, successful businesswoman. What was going on behind the scenes did not match that. And I was not proud of, it was like, oh my God, if people knew what was really true about my financial life, I would not want them to know. And so the disconnect between who I seemed to be and who I actually was growing further and further. And that became increasingly uncomfortable. So I got help.
I think everybody listening to this can relate to that in some sort of way. Yeah.
There are so many secrets around money. You know,
sure. Yeah,
there are so many secrets, and we're told, at least, you know, in the United States, we are raised that it is not okay to talk about money. Don't ever ask about it. Don't ever, you know, and so, it's been really a huge journey, just like talking about it and telling the truth.
And I love what you said. I hear so many people on Facebook, especially nowadays. Well, maybe it's just on my timeline. That could be. But all about manifesting and affirming. And if you just do that, then all the money will automatically come into your bank account. And that's just not the way it works. Somehow, yes, I do affirmations every morning, but that doesn't translate into your bank account. That just prepares your mindset. That's all it does.
Yeah, there's a great Michael Beckwith quote that affirmations don't make things happen. They make things welcome. Isn't that cool? It's something like that. I'm butchering the quote a little bit, but it's more or less that. And I just love that because it's like, okay, I feel like affirmations and mindset work are tending the soil, you know, and preparing it. And then the action is actually planting the seed.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And there are so many people who do action without all these affirmations who become millionaires, and they might not become in financial harmony. So that's my next question. But but they do become rich. So money has nothing to do with being in a good place spiritually or whatever.
It doesn't, not necessarily. Yeah.
What would you say financial harmony really is?
So for me, my financial harmony is having my outsides match my insides and being in financial integrity. And so financial integrity to me is it's very simple, doing what I said I was going to do and also doing what I know needs to be done. So for example, you know, I feel like I'm in the most financial harmony I've ever been in my life right now. Mike and I meet every single week on Wednesdays. It's our money date. We are vigilant. We transfer money to certain accounts every single week. And, you know, this house came up for sale. And because we had been so diligent about that, we were able to spontaneously like make an offer on a house, which honestly, what's so cool about just small weekly actions or small daily actions is all of a sudden we looked at the account and I was like, oh my gosh, there's money for the down payment. And we did it. And it didn't feel like this huge thing because every week we just put money in.
It's just a really small ritual, but you
like
have
brushing
to
brushing your teeth.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It really felt like, and then that's so important, you know, is getting to a place or working on being able to release the emotional charge around it so that it really does feel like brushing your teeth.
How did you do that?
Well, you know, it's a journey and it's certainly not overnight, but even just, I really pay attention to what I say about money and what I think about money. And so that's been the hugest thing is, you know, I was having a conversation with Mike the other day and something was said about this income coming in from our business. But then like, it was like, oh, well, that's still paying us back from whatever. And I was like, hold up. Like, can we just change the conversation right here? Because it was starting to feel really, like we were going to always be in this hole, you know, it just was starting to feel like, ugh. And so it's being vigilant about language and then also doing the work, like in my book, Money Love Story, writing out your money story and looking for the themes and looking for the patterns and seeing, wow, how is it that I'm playing out my parents' beliefs instead of my beliefs? And that's been huge to really look at consciously changing my behavior so that it aligns with my values and perspective, not just the ones I inherited.
I love that. Yeah. And I love the fact that you tune into that every week because somehow a lot of people are mixed up around that. They think, well, if you just change, I just choose to believe something different and then it all happens magically. And that isn't true either, is it?
It's like exercising. You can't just go to the gym once. You know, when people tell me like, oh yeah, no, I healed the stuff with my mother or whatever. I'm like, I mean, yes, I do believe in progress and I believe every single day it can get better and better and better. And there are things in my life that used to be such huge, like gaping wounds that really don't even feel like a thing anymore. But every now and again, they'll get triggered, like my money stuff. Every now and again, I'm like, wow, I'm really slipping into that avoidance behavior. So I think it's the kind of thing like a yoga practice, a meditation practice, exercising. You just show up as often as you can.
Yes, I love that. Yeah. And if you do that, what changes in your life? So why? I know sometimes I've done it for 2 or 3 months and then it slips or whatever, but why should you be consistent? What is possible when you do that?
Well, so, and I'll just get really grounded about what our financial practice looks like so that we know what consistency looks like. So every Wednesday we look at what's on our credit cards, what's in our different bank accounts, and then we transfer money into our wants account, our needs account, our savings account, and our taxes, because we run our own business, so we transfer money every week. And then on the first of the month, we pay all of the bills, which I call invoices for blessings already received. So that happened. So those are kind of like the grounded things. And then we do meet with our financial planner periodically when we're just kind of like feeling a stuck point. We need a little extra support. The reason to do these things is really, for me, it's ease. It's knowing that, this is a big deal, you know, like it's a big deal to be able to look in an account and say, well, we have money to buy a house. That's a beautiful house, you know? And it's like,
not a dark.
And it happened because of weekly showing up. And so it's the ability to have the freedom to make choices. To me, it's having choices. And
how quickly did that change? Because you didn't start with this 20 years ago. So how many years have you been doing this ritual? How quickly did it change?
Mike and I have been really regular about our weekly financial date for about a year and a half.
So it's a year and a half.
Yeah, it's not even that long. And we would do it, and I'll just be, I'm full transparency. We would like do it every single week, and then we would fall off the wagon, or we would do it every single week, but it was too uncomfortable because we were bashing up against stuff that we weren't ready to look at yet. So we would just bail and just go into la la land. So it's really only, we've had this pretty dramatic transformation in about a year and a half.
That's really interesting to hear people say that, because if you look at the outside picture, it can look so different. And it's so cool to hear the inside story, because that's the truth, really. If somebody goes on a diet, we all eat an apple pie or a roll of cookies every once in a while, don't we?
Yeah. It's what you do most of the time that matters.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what you do most of the time. Like, we'll all still, you know, spend money in an unconscious way every now and again and be like, wow, that happened. But it's like, you know, like I occasionally have an ice cream cone, but it's not every single day. Yeah. So whereas it used to be every single day, I was spending money unconsciously.
Yes, I get that. I'm also really curious to hear, because my kids are now 10 and 11, but I know that my money journey really, I started to even see that it was an issue when I got pregnant, because before that I was making money like there was a water hose on. And the minute I got pregnant, the faucet turned closed, and I didn't understand. And it took me years to get that all of a sudden I had this belief that my mother was consistently saying, just find a guy to earn the money for you. And I thought, I didn't believe that, but I was living the opposite.
Amazing. So
what happened when you got Penelope? Because did anything change?
Well, Penelope is 21 months old.
Yeah.
So yes, it did, because we really started getting super dialed in to the degree that I'm like, no, we are nailing it. Like, there would have been times if we had had this interview a year and a half ago, I would have been like, I'm mostly proud of how I handle my finances. Today, I'm like, nope, it's 99.9. Nothing's ever perfect, but I'm like, no, you could come over and see everything. And I'm like, I am so proud of it. So that happened. Penelope was, we met with a financial planner. We started getting really like dialed in on our weekly thing, what we do. And that started in May of 2016. So Penelope was 9 months old. And I've always been a great earner, so that was never a problem. It's what happens after the earning. Yeah. And so many of us think like, oh, well, I'll just solve it by making more money. And the problem is when you don't address your habits, you just make more money and then you spend more and then you make more and you spend more. So I could be in the exact same situation making $5 million a year. Because it's easy to spend $5 million. I don't know. I've never done it, but I would imagine I could do it.
Well, you just need a bigger shoe cupboard, wouldn't you?
I don't know. I don't know what I would do with it, but I'm sure I could come up with something. But it's like changing the behavior so that as our income increases, our expenses don't automatically increase to put us back in lack.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that just takes, for me, it's been like the physical experience of it is a process of slowing down. Just slowing down. And I know you and I are similar, Suze. We're like very enthusiastic and we want to go. And slowing down and being more present has been what has healed it. And still hard for me because I just always want to go. But it's like, okay, I'm coming here, I'm sitting at this desk, we're talking about money. I'm slowing down. And that has been the kind of the flavor of the shift.
We are very similar in that. Yeah. I now even have a practice that every single time that I feel myself getting enthusiastic, I have to meditate for 20 minutes first.
That's great. That's yeah. really great.
Doesn't solve everything, but it
does. No. But it can't hurt.
No, it never hurts. No. It hurt your knees, but
Yeah.
So if somebody's listening to this and they think, yeah, okay, well, that's all very nice and cool, but you know, you say I'm a good earner. So how do I even become a good earner? Right. And what's so important.
So, you know, I don't know, Suze, you can tell me, are most people in your community entrepreneurs or are most people? Okay, great. So I will just be honest. I struggle with working with people who are employees because you really can't just like make more money.
I don't understand the whole employee concept anyway.
Yeah, and I think it's great. I mean, we have employees. I'm so grateful for them. And they do not have a desire to run their own business. And thank goodness, because they want to help us run ours. So it's awesome. And from a money perspective, I struggle because my mindset is so like, will you just make more money? So as an entrepreneur, the options for making more money are infinite. And here's just a few of them. Number one is to, you know, I always go with the low-hanging fruit. So what is a way, what is something your current customers are asking for that you could deliver? So how could you go deeper with the people who are already spending money with you? Because it's so much less energy and less time and less money to get another sale from an existing customer than it is to gain a new customer. So how can you go deeper with the same clients? Would it be a new product line? Would it be another addition to an offering you already have? Would it be getting referrals from them? Like, how could you do that? Then, so that's with your current customer base. Then, of course, getting new customers is always a way to make money. And you can do that through so many ways. Networking, running free workshops, blogging, social media, you know, Facebook ads can be a wonderful way to do it. Referrals, doing speaking gigs, putting out a self-published book to spread the word. Like, there's a lot of different options for spreading the word. And then really getting clear, like this has been the hugest thing for me is, and for most of the people I work with, is getting clear on the 80-20. So here's an exercise you can do. I'm sure you've heard of the 80-20 rule before. This is not new. But here's how you can actually use it. I had never actually had a grounded way to figure out what my 20% was. So I invented it. So the 20% is going to be the activities. 20% of your activities are going to lead to 80% of your revenue or results. Yes. And so here's what I recommend you do. Write out a list of your biggest wins in business. So, you know, getting your first VIP client, teaching your first workshop, you know, getting your first paid speaking gig, I don't know, launching your product line, whatever the big wins would be, and then make a list of the tasks that you do in your business.
Yeah.
And then draw a line between the tasks that led to the big wins, and it will be instantly obvious which tasks get you the biggest results.
Yes.
And then over time, you just want to minimize doing the rest of the tasks. And of course, if there's a task that led to a big win that you didn't think of in your original list, like, of course, add it. And I did this exercise 2 weeks ago, and I was blown away. Like, my big wins have come from meeting people, networking, connecting. Those are my biggest wins. And so, yes. And then creating content. And so that's my 20%. And so when you will make more money when you identify your 20% and you basically as much as possible, stop doing the things that are not in the 20%. So that's my recommendation.
That's really, really important. The funny thing is I actually did that last week and I was thinking,
cool.
It's the exact same thing. I was thinking, so if I want to spend a good 90 days now, what should I be doing? And how did clients come in? And I am working around this podcast and creating online presence, et cetera, et cetera. But all my clients are actually coming from speaking gigs.
There you go. Yeah. So isn't that crazy how it's like, yes. Oh my gosh, hello. Yeah. A lot of my stuff on back, it was from speaking gigs too.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's so great to hear from you, because you have such a great online presence. So it could easily look like online would be your best way of getting new clients. And it really might not be.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really important, because when you do a speaking gig, then somebody of course goes to your website. But it's like, maybe that's only step two in the process. And step one is the speaking gig.
Yeah. And then maybe your time should be devoted to the speaking gigs, and somebody else should do a lot of online things for you.
Exactly.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Okay, so thank you very much. Is there anything that you say we need to dive into this, because now they're missing out?
Let's see. I mean, I think that there's a really important piece of, there's a pretty pervasive belief that if you make money, you are a bad person. I mean, I really think that that is a commonly held, not conscious belief, but like a just under the surface that's running our lives. Like, when you make a lot of money, that suddenly you're a bad person. So you'll self-sabotage. And that's very common, that there's this inherent belief that if you make money, somehow you're taking away from someone else. And what's so important to shift, and I listened to a great podcast episode yesterday with my friend James Wedmore, his Mind Your Business podcast, and he was interviewing Stu McLaren, who's a friend and mentor, and it was about your money story. And Stu shared how he had, he would get to about like $250,000, which is like a no joke income. It's a great income.
Yeah.
But he would get there, and then he would like not meet deadlines, or he would just not call clients back, or there wasn't any reason for him to not do that other than he just was sabotaging himself, because he thought that if he made more than that, he was suddenly a bad person. And then he had a huge shift, because he went to Kenya, and he was visiting a school, because a lot of kids in Kenya want to go to school, but they don't have a school in their area, or the school is too far, or they, you know, there's just like all these barriers. And so he found out from this guy that to pay the salary of a teacher in Kenya, it's $100 a month. And at the time, Stu was selling this software called Wishlist Member.
Yeah.
It was $97.
Yeah.
So he said, wait a second, how many teachers could I pay the salary for if I sold one more membership, I would pay another salary. And just think of how many kids that teacher is going to then impact. So he had an entire shift where he got so excited about making money, because he saw how he could exponentially increase his impact. And to me, that's where we need to be, is that place of like, I am doing this. At least in the United States, we have a problematic political situation right now. Yeah. And I do not believe in what the government is spending money on, largely. I mean, some of the things, yes, but largely no. So I am taking it upon myself to make as much money as I can, so I can control sending it to places that I think are doing work that's helping the planet. Because I'm not going to wait for our government to get a clue.
No,
I mean, that's why I make money to take care of my family, for sure. But then like above a certain amount of, you don't, whatever. Like, I'm not so into, I don't know what else I would spend money on. So above a certain level, you know, we're getting into the house, that'll be big, then we need the furniture. But then after that, it's like, what else is there? Not that much. It's helping other people.
I love that. I say that all the time. So what would be wrong if you earned another $100,000 to give away to a charity? That's so huge. And if you can do that, that makes you feel so happy.
Oh my God. It's the biggest satisfaction in life is helping other people.
Yes.
There is no greater satisfaction.
Absolutely. And you don't have to, I always say, you don't have to help 10 million people when you have your own kids at home.
Right. Yes. Oh my God.
Don't start saving the rest of the world when you have people at home that need you as well. But do your best and serve the people that you can, and do as many as you can.
Yeah. And creating financial harmony is the best way to be of service, because it creates this sense of calm and peace and ease in you, so that you can show up fully, whatever you're doing with your kids, with your spouse, with your community, and not have this constant dialogue running of like, oh my God, how am I going to pay the mortgage? Oh my God, how am I going to pay for my kids' school? Oh my gosh. Because all of that stuff, like, we only have a certain amount of bandwidth every day.
Yeah.
And if that bandwidth is being taken up by financial stress, that is decreasing your ability to be of service to the planet. So you got to clean that up first, like get the bandwidth clear. So do your, you know, show up every week for your money. And then when you get the bandwidth freed up, you'll be so much more creative. You'll have so much more energy, you know.
And you'll be so much more present in the time that you are there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I love it. Hey, so thank you very much, Kate.
And
if there's anything that people could do immediately after getting off this call, what is the first thing they need to do when they hang up?
Okay, so honestly, since your community are entrepreneurs, do the exercise about the big wins and your tasks. That it will take you 3 minutes. And I have to say, it had a dramatic impact on the way I am viewing my time. So I do that exercise, big wins, tasks, line up the tasks with the big wins that they apply to you. And then do everything you can to start expanding the amount of time you spend on the tasks that lead to the big wins, because that will just decrease a lot of stress and friction in your business, which then of course gets you into a better momentum and helps the abundance flow. And then of course, once the abundance is flowing, then it's managing that and having a weekly money date.
Yeah. So get that in place and start with the exercise.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Kate. It's been wonderful spending time with you. Next week there will be a new episode. Please stay tuned and see you soon. Bye.